Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Going to be looking at the first part of this chapter, verses 1 through 18. This is God's Word. "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. They love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Who's your audience? Who's looking? What does it matter? There are a lot of people who live their lives hoping to be noticed. There are a lot of people who live their lives hoping not to be noticed. Most of us go back and forth between the two. Sometimes we want people to see what we're up to because we feel pretty good about what we're doing, and we sort of like the attention. Other times we are hoping that no one sees. If you think that what other people think is most important, you're going to make a whole lot of bad decisions. If your great concern is how does it appear to others, you will not only often do the wrong thing, fail to do the right thing, but sooner or later, you will discover that the only audience that really matters is God. God sees what we do, even though we can't see Him. Jesus refers to our Heavenly Father in this passage repeatedly as the one who is unseen. God is unseen. But then He turns it right around and says, He sees you. God sees you. God not only sees what we do, God sees our motive. He sees the reason why we do what we do. And He sees it more clearly than we do. I have done things persuading myself that my motives were good when my motives were at best mixed. God can deal with people like that. David, the shepherd boy, took on Goliath for the glory of God. He was horrified that this uncircumcised Philistine was taunting the armies of the Lord, because Israel was the Lord's people. And so he was motivated by the glory of God, but he wasn't just motivated by the glory of God. The text tells us three times that David was interested in the reward, because he heard from the soldiers that whoever defeated Goliath would get to marry the princess, would be made extremely rich, and would end up with his whole father's family being exempted from taxes. That means dad doesn't have to pay taxes anymore, and the rest of the family doesn't have to pay taxes anymore. That was a pretty good reward. That was a lot of incentive. Three times in the text, it shows that he was interested in that. So it wasn't just the glory of God that interested David. God still used him, and used him beautifully, supernaturally, to defeat Goliath. But he did have mixed motives. I wonder if you'd asked David on that day, why are you doing this? What would he have said? My guess is he would have said, for the glory of God. But God saw the whole thing, and God puts the whole thing in the scriptures so that we get a glimpse too. Because we don't just see a glimpse of David, we see a glimpse of ourselves. And Jesus here addresses things that you and I are supposed to be doing as a part of our walk with Him, if we're His disciples. In verse 2, He says, so when you give. Verse 3, when you give. Verse 5, when you pray. Verse 6, when you pray. Verse 7, when you pray. Verse 16, when you fast. Verse 17, when you fast. He doesn't say, if you pray, or if you fast. He says, when you do these things, do them this way. So Jesus is not just talking about our behaviors, encouraging us to give and to pray and to fast. Jesus is saying, God not only sees what you do, God sees why you do it. And it's the question of motive that's being addressed in all three of these. Look, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. If the reason you're doing what you're doing is so that other people will think well of you, so that they'll have a high opinion of you, then your reward is whatever they think of you. God is not impressed. Where's your audience? Are you doing it because you want them to think well of you, or are you doing it because you love the Lord and you want to please Him?
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents, and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Now, we said before, Jesus isn't saying that it's wrong for anybody to see you doing the right thing. If you look back in chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus says, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise you and say you are a wonderful guy. Oh, wait a minute, I think I misread that. Verse 16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. The goal, the ambition, when you do something that other people see, is to be for the glory of God. It's that God may be praised. So, Jesus is saying, in chapter 6, don't do it in order to be seen by men. If that's your motive, if your goal is trying to get people to notice you, that's wrong. If your goal is for people to see the Lord and give praise to Him, that's good. Jesus said, be careful. Be careful. In other words, if you're not careful, you're liable to do the right thing for the wrong reason and lose your reward. Well, but I did the right thing. Yeah, but you did it for the wrong reason. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. So, when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. There were people who actually did that. Oh, no, that was just a metaphor. No, there were people who actually would announce, you know, it was a big deal. And they wanted people to know what they were doing. First house that we built, funded by a family, not named for that family. Second house that we built, funded by a different family, not named for that family. Third house, not named for a family. Fourth house, not named for a family. Why don't we have all kinds of buildings around here named for people? I mean, this dining hall in which we're having devotions. Do you know who gave this? One family gave this building. Doesn't have their name on the outside. It's not the Letty Cagle Memorial Dining Hall. No. But Letty and her son funded this dining hall. And if you read the fine print in the little plaque over there on the wall, you might pick up on the fact that they must have been the donors. But even the plaque over there is not about them. It's about their desire that you would be like the little boy who offered his meal to Jesus. That's what's on the plaque. If you receive training in how to raise funds, one of the things they'll train you in is to offer naming opportunities. Because people are motivated to build monuments to themselves and those they love. Stadiums are all named something. They're the Kinko's Stadium, the FedEx Stadium, the whatever Stadium. Skyscrapers. Skyscrapers. It used to be the Sears Tower, then it became the Willis Tower. I mean, everybody wants their name on something. That is natural human ego. Jesus says, don't do that. Don't live that way. If that's what you're aiming for, you're not going to get any reward from God. So when you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When we were first starting this ministry, somebody who shall remain nameless made a very generous commitment to the ministry. Shortly thereafter, that fellow's mother was asking me how we're doing. You know, how's the fundraising going? And I said, well, I said, we just had a wonderful, generous commitment from your son. And she said, oh, that's great. And then I got a phone call from her son. And he said, don't you ever tell anybody about what we're doing for the ranch. I don't want anyone to know. I think what you're doing is wonderful. But Jesus says, we're not to talk about what we do. And I don't want people knowing. And he meant it. There aren't monuments to his generosity here or in the many other places that he's given. But he has given and given and given across the years, not wanting anybody to know. And the only way I know is when other people slip up and tell me the kind of thing that he has. The people who gave the second house, I had to beg them for permission to share with a few folks that they were the ones who gave, because they said, we want it to be anonymous. Those folks, for at least a period of time, were giving 90% of their income. You can't even deduct that much. The most you could deduct was 50%, and they were giving away 90% of their income. Why? Because they were doing it for the Lord. When you give, your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. Is it okay to pray on the street? Sure. But it's not okay to stand there in order to try and get attention. If your goal is to pray, then pray. Talk with God. But don't think he's going to hear you if you deliver a great speech. Jesus says, don't think that it's about using a bunch of words and going on and on and on. The pagans do that. God knows what you need before you ask him. I've been in prayer meetings before where it was like they were trying to explain to God what the relationship was between this person and this person. Be sure he got the right one. You don't need to do that. He already knows everything. The reason we're praying is not to manipulate him. The reason we're praying is so that we get to get in step with what he's doing. So Jesus gives us a model of how to pray, and obviously we don't have time this morning to expound on this, but we've already done it. If you want a message on the Sermon on the Mount, look in the archives. It's there. Got a whole series on the Sermon on the Mount. This morning, I want you to see it in context and realize that one of the great beautiful things about it is that it's so wonderfully simple and short. It's a brief prayer that says it all. It covers everything from just worship and adoration to the confession of sin, declaring our dependence on him and asking him to provide our basic needs. It's all wrapped up right there. It even deals with our relationship with others and says, be careful how you treat other people, including in your heart. Because if you haven't forgiven them, God's not forgiving you. And then Jesus says, when you fast. When you fast. That is obviously most often fasting from food. Sometimes fasting from certain foods. You can do a dessert fast. Some of us would like to do a fast from fast food. Some of us would like to do a fast from vegetables. That's not allowed. No. I'm on a special diet right now. I'm just limiting myself to desserts. No. Fast from dessert. Don't just fast eating dessert. Okay. I was thinking just kind of a cake diet. No. Okay. No. But you can fast. You can fast from certain foods. You can fast one day a week. You can fast from television if you're, like some people, addicted. You can fast for a season. But the point of your fast is not just deprivation. It's not just to do without something. It's in order to free up that time in order to do something else. Some people ought to fast from golf. Some people ought to fast from some other hobby that consumes them. Some people are fasting from social media. Some people ought to fast from politics, the news channel, whatever. But when you fast, don't make it a public thing. Jesus here tells us something, and this is an example of why we need to understand Scripture correctly. He says, when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting. If you were to put oil on your head in our culture, would that cause you to blend in, or would that cause you to have people saying to you, did something happen to you? What's going on? It looks like you got oil on your head. Well, yes, I can't really tell you why. Because Jesus says I'm not supposed to tell people when I'm fasting. The reason Jesus says put oil on your head was because in this culture at this time, part of your good grooming was to put oil on your head. When I was a kid in the 1960s, that was still the case. They had various things you could put on your head to make your hair behave. My wife and I just watched an old movie, and the guy's hair was, totally slicked back, shiny. And he was, at that time, a real heartthrob. And it was kind of amusing, but it also made me feel a little nostalgic because I remember when we used to do that. Then the 1980s came along and hairspray was the thing. I'm still getting over it. When Jesus says put oil on your head, the whole point is don't look like you're fasting. Just look normal. Well, putting oil on your head, or in my case, hairspray, may not make us look normal, but it's as normal as we get. Okay? And Jesus says the goal is that what you're doing would be seen by your Father in heaven, not calling attention to yourself among men. So I return to the original question. Who's the audience that you're performing for? Who is it you want to see what you're doing? God sees whether you want him to or not. But if you're not doing it for him, you're not going to be doing the right thing for the right reason. So, what's the takeaway? Do what you do for God. Do what you do for God. That's the bottom line. Do what you do for God.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.